Hey, this is Troy from Planet 76. We've got some really good Sixers-focused content coming your way today. Make sure you subscribe to the pod so you can be in the know when we release new content. Enjoy the show. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Planet 76, episode 139. And Michael and I are both back for this one. And not just us. We're not the only two that are back. Mr. MVP Joel Embiid is back, played his first game in over 2 months in the Sixers' win over the Oklahoma City Thunder at home. So that's probably the most positive thing that Michael or myself have said on this podcast in probably 2 months. So really big deal. I mean, there's only a handful of games left until the regular season ends, and Joel Embiid obviously trying to ramp up for a potential playoff run. That's the deal. I mean, we'll get into what that means and what the Sixers have upcoming and kind of where they've been over the last few days, weeks, and again, the journey ahead, less than 2 weeks now until the end of the regular season and a potential play-in. We'll talk all of that, but Michael, first, why don't we start with the big fella and how excited you were to see him on the floor and even what you thought of his performance tonight.
Seeing Joel Embiid back on the floor is like a breath of fresh air. It's like when you're on vacation at the beach and you first walk out in the morning and you just get hit with the ocean air. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was refreshing. It was calming even. And knowing that he's back and knowing that it only gets better from here, it's such a perspective shift as a Sixers fan. And I think I can speak for all of us when I say this. It's just so delightful. Every adjective that you could use, every single one, it's great to see him back. Not even because of what it means for the Sixers or what it could possibly mean for the Sixers, but also because it's just great to see great basketball, and Joel Embiid is great basketball every night. We talk about it on the podcast all the time. We talk about it to the listeners talk about it to their friends, to the people they know. You talk about it. It's a very, very pertinent topic and piece of conversation. Joel Embiid is great basketball, and there really isn't any denying that. So having that in any capacity is amazing. And Joel Embiid is just, again, I'm not going to bore you with my whole spiel here, but just, it's great. It really is. And Sixers have 6 games left. Heat, Grizzlies, Pistons, Nets, Magic. So it's going to be something. I'm sorry. Grizzlies, Spurs, Magic. It's these next 6 games are must win. The Sixers need to win all 3. Why did I say 3 when I just said 6? All 6 of these games. They need to win all of them. They are 1.5 games behind Miami. They're 2 games behind Indiana. They're 3.5 behind the Knicks. They're probably not getting the 5th seed. Avoiding the play-in would be cool. Would be really cool.
Yes.
It's a long shot, kind of. But doing that would be awesome. So fingers crossed on that front. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, to that point, you almost wish that, I mean, Miami's on the schedule. That's a huge one. We'll get there. I mean, that's Thursday. But you almost wish that, because Indiana's at 6, you wish they were on the schedule over these next couple games, but they're not. But yeah, to your point, 3 on the road, 3 consecutive on the road for the last road trip of the regular season. Then they finish with 3 at home, Pistons, Magic, and Nets. Obviously, all of those are winnable games. Spurs, Grizzlies, Heat, winnable games, not in that order. But these are important. The other thing to watch for, and I heard it, this isn't even my original thought, but a couple of these are back-to-backs. And actually, whoever said that was wrong, because I only see one true back-to-back. It's going to be Saturday, Sunday, Grizzlies and Spurs on the 6th and on the 7th. We'll see what that means for Joel. I wouldn't think that he would play in both those, though. I didn't think anyone expected him to play 30 minutes tonight. I mean, he was listed as out. He wasn't there at shoot-around, and he did play, and he played well. He knocked down all 12 of his free throws. That helped. I mean, but, you know, I mean, for a guy in Joel Embiid to come off of, you know, 2 months and to come out here and drop 24 points, 7 assists, 6 boards, 3 steals, a big, important, huge steal late, I think off of Josh Giddey when the Sixers were up just 1 and it sent Joel to the free throw line, was massive. It's funny to you know, rattle off that stat line, and like, that's not even a Joel Embiid level stat line, but 95% of the players in the NBA would kill for a stat line like that on any given night. And Joel Embiid did it. And, you know, he obviously conditioning needs to ramp up. I think as the game went on, he got more comfortable. He was very exhausted his first run in the first quarter, which was to be expected. But he just played in small spurts. You know, if he got 30 minutes, that means, you know, 7.5 minutes a quarter, and those were kind of 3-4 minute increments where he would miss kind of the middle parts of every quarter is what it looked like to me. And you know, he played well. The other guy that shined tonight obviously was Kelly Oubre, especially in the fourth quarter. I don't know how many he had in the fourth. It might have been 15 or something of his 25 in the fourth. Knocked down 4 threes. He was crucial to the win tonight. No Maxi, but yeah. How do you think he looked? Is there a concern, or is it like, you know what? I mean, he hasn't played in 2 months. Let's give him a little bit of a break. Like, how do you think he looked given the context?
I don't think he looked great. But again, mm-hmm. like you just said, given the context, he's just coming back after not playing real basketball. And by real basketball, I mean basketball in the NBA. For over 2 months. And when you haven't played in over 2 months, you're going to take a little bit to readjust your game. He almost had a mini offseason in a sense, but it was spent recovering from an injury, from surgery, from procedure. So he's going to look a little bit, I don't know if I want to say out of shape. That might be too harsh, because physically he's not out of shape. You can tell. It's just that his body has to get reacclimated to the game. To the constant moving, the constant running, the physicality of the game. It takes a toll. Physically, like I said, physically he looks good. I'm more so talking internally, his conditioning, his stamina, his energy level. That was definitely lagging, but again, everything requires context, and the context of this being, he hasn't played for over 2 months. He's going to take a little bit of time to readjust. Nick Nurse said after the game that he knew Embiid would look kind of rusty, which he did, but Nick Nurse also said he wouldn't be surprised if Embiid was ready. Mm-hmm. If Embiid was ready in like a game or two, readjusted. So we'll have to see. Wouldn't shock me either, because Joel Embiid is very quick to play himself back into game shape. We see it at the beginning of every season. He plays poorly the first week or two, and then he looks amazing. He looks like the MVP. So I have no doubts at all about him being able to get back there. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, that's good to hear from you. I mean, I hope that people are encouraged to hear that Michael has no concerns. And it's true. Joel Embiid in October, early November, looks gassed, right? He looks winded. And by mid-November, he looks fine, you know? And that's the same situation here, where early April, playoffs are mid-April. And so, that's definitely the hope. I'm just now thinking about this. So we play the Heat on Thursday. That's a big game. You know, given the standings and a potential 7 seed, potential 8 seed, if you're the 7, you're hosting that 7-8 play-in, you win, you're in, you got the 7. That's huge. Now, I think that Joel Embiid maybe pushed himself to play tonight so that he can even look and feel better on Thursday for that big game. And when I think of that, I think of the same kind of situation when Joel Embiid was out in the playoffs last year. Sixers ended up winning game one in Boston. You know, then they got absolutely manhandled in game two in Boston, but Joel Embiid played in that game, and it was almost like, you know, he just played to kind of get his feet wet. He hadn't played in a while. And that's how I kind of view tonight's game, because again, Thursday is so important to that, you know, case for trying to get the six or the seven. And in that order, obviously, not just because of like, okay, yeah, duh, six is seven. Six is better than seven. Seven is better than eight. But like, given the weight of it, because of how good Boston is this year. And so not only do you want to, if you can't avoid the play-in, you do want to avoid Boston. And a seven seed helps you avoid Boston in the first round. Like, I'm not afraid to say that. And if you, like, I would much rather that 7-8 game be played in Philadelphia than I would in Miami. Because if the Sixers lose that, then you got to play the winner of the 9-10 just for the 8 seed, just for a date with the Boston Celtics in the first round. Like, that's your reward. And that's not exactly what you want, right? I mean, am I wrong in kind of thinking through all of that or what?
No, not at all. Not at all. You're 100% right. There's situations that are definitely going to be more ideal for the Sixers come playoff time in terms of having a more potentially favorable outcome. That's one of them. That's one of them for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, a quick look at the standing. Sixers are two back of the six, which is ideal world. Yeah, you want the six. Not sure that happens. That's the Pacers, 43-33. Miami is 42-33. Sixers a game and a half back of them, but obviously that can change on Well, it will change on Thursday one way or another. You know, Sixers will be either half game back or two and a half back, which does not look good with, you know, just a handful to play. So that's like you said it earlier, I mean, these are all kind of must wins, but that one especially, like that's one you need if you really want that seven seed. So that's important. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's kind of a little crazy that we haven't mentioned the Sixers' record-breaking performance the other night against Toronto.
Forgot about that.
With how many threes?
32. Wait, what am I saying?
Was it against Toronto?
No, it was 24. Dude, 24. Kick me off the podcast. Kick me off. That's like the third time I've made an error because I don't know. I 24 made threes. Franchise
24
record
of 43. Yeah. No, you can't. You're not getting off that easy. You can't. We need you. So yeah, I mean, Campaign made six threes. Kelly Oubre made six threes. Nick Batum made 5 of 6. Buddy Hield made three. Kyle Lowry made three. How good though have Kyle Lowry and Campaign been to what you've seen recently, right? I mean, they've been pretty good.
Let's just take a moment really quickly.
Yeah.
Like, Cameron Payne has been so much better than I thought he was gonna be, and is so much better than I thought he was. Did not know he was as good of a three-point shooter. Did not know he was this good of a decision maker with the ball in his hands. I like Cameron Payne a lot. And on the trade deadline, I just wasn't sure. I wasn't sure what he provides, really, that Patrick Beverley did not. I just wasn't really sure about his game. But I'm very glad I've gotten to watch Campaign because he's looked really good. He is really good. Some of the threes he hits, he's pressuring the defense just based off of that alone. Like, you would think the way because of the jumper that he isn't a good shooter, but he is. He's a really good shooter, very confident with the ball, isn't afraid to attack defenses. I like him a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been a good addition. Some, you know, surprised by that. And I don't think anyone is like, yeah, I expected him to do what he's doing. Cause I don't think you have, but, he's been good. I mean, he has numbers since the month of March, you know, just quick, even point totals. He's had 15, 16, 13, 13, 10, 12, 23, 24, and 10, and a couple other, you know, 7 and 2 point performances in there too. But like, he's been good. And I think, you know, when this team's healthy and you have Tyrese Maxey starting, and then Campaign comes off the bench, at least stylistically, and because of his speed, it's like you don't change kind of what you're doing that much, because he's very quick. And, you know, when it was Patrick Beverley, it was kind of just, it's a whole different offense out there. But with Cam, you can kind of run some of the same offense, and not saying he's Tyrese Maxey, but like, just...
You can kind of put him in a Maxey-esque role, and right. you'll get like some of the same output, if that makes sense.
Right, which is nice, because it's not, you know, there's not a drastic change when you put him in, and he's been inserted in totally different lineups, starting lineup, and playing with different guys off the bench and all sorts of things. And again, the other guy that has excelled lately, you know, is Kyle Lowry, and I think he looks good, he looks healthy, he's been playing very well, especially as of late. You know, he had 23 against Cleveland, and you know, last Friday, he's just been good, and he obviously is going to provide something come play-in tournament and playoffs that the Sixers need. D'Anthony Melton does not seem to be much answers to him returning. And so you need all the guards you can get. And, you know, I mean, Tyrese didn't play tonight. And so we've still, in a long time, yet to see a fully healthy Sixers team. And again, we might not see a fully healthy Sixers starting lineup if D'Anthony Melton's not out there. But, you got to feel a little optimistic about the way some of these guys are playing, and now getting Joel and Tyrese Maxey healthy. It's got to feel pretty good. So any other thoughts on, anything? I mean, again, Sixers big one on Thursday, but anything else?
I'm kind of concerned with Melton, because I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
It's just he does so much for your bench depth. Obviously, Payne, Lowry, Maxey, Hield helps a lot. It really bolsters, and quite honestly, does a great job of filling out your guard rotation, because you have four legitimately good to great elite guards there. Mm-hmm. But D'Anthony Melton just brings, like, he's the best defender of the bunch. Outside of Hield, well, no, because all those guys are good three-point shooters. But he adds three-point shooting. He adds a little bit of ball handling. Great rebounder at the guard spot. You miss a guy like that. No matter how good your guard rotation is, you miss a guy like that. And I don't know. He would really put the cherry on top, be the perfect sixth man for this team. So... I don't know. Is he going to be back by playoffs? I don't even know what's going on. Like,
doesn't seem that
he was legitimately really, really good for the Sixers. And
yeah,
I don't know. I think he's a free agent. Is he a free agent this offseason? I don't know.
I think he might be.
That would suck to lose him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been good in his tenure with the Sixers. I mean, you got to love him. It's just like, I mean, I saw... You know, like Nick Nurse commented on Joel recently about, you know, him returning, and D'Anthony, there was just not as much to say. So it doesn't look particularly promising, but that is like, I mean, that's a slept on kind of miss that the Sixers have right now and will moving forward. Which, yeah, it is what it is, I guess, you know, but... just kind of an interesting point there. So Sixers and Miami, possibly, likely a 7-8 play-in preview coming up on Thursday night in Miami. A big one. Sixers need it. We'll see if Tyrese is back. That would be big. See if Joel plays. I expect that he will. Again, I'm kind of under the impression that tonight, even though he played 30 minutes, it was kind of just like a get right for that coming game on Thursday. At least I'm hopeful that that's the case. Sixers again, Heat, Grizzlies, Spurs on the road, in just over the next few days. And then next week back at home for three against the Pistons, Magic, and Brooklyn Nets. It would be nice to win all of those. We'll see how many they get. But, Yeah, I think that'll do it. Will that do it for episode 139?
I think so. I think this is the time now. We've been talking about it, since Embiid's been out. This is the time now where we can be like, okay, Embiid is back. It's time to really lock in. It's time to see, can this team, what's going to happen? Like, we're still waiting, obviously, because we have to wait to see what happens in the playoffs. But having Embiid back before the playoffs is going to just really do a lot. I mean, they have the chance to jump to six, which means they get probably the Cavs in the playoffs, right. Which now I don't want to talk down to the Cavs because they're a great team, but the Cavs are probably the most favorable first-round matchup for the Sixers. I truly do think the Sixers beat them in five games, six games. Well, obviously, we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. But the Cavs become...
Yeah, wouldn't that six be nice?
Yes, exactly. The Cavs become the most favorable matchup for the Sixers because then perhaps you get the Heat at seven, Pacers at eight. I don't know. You talk about the Heat, Bucks first round. Heat could beat the Bucks. I mean, the Heat have given the Bucks trouble in the past. Obviously, you add a new layer with Dame Lillard on the team now. But that'd be great if the Heat could knock off the Bucks. How crazy would that be? Again, I don't want to get too far down the playoff rabbit hole right now. But all I'm saying is, I don't know how all the math works. I don't know what it will take. But I have to imagine the sixth seed is still very much within reach for the Sixers, and they know it. Whatever the case is, I'm sure they know. I'm sure Nick Nurse knows. I'm sure Joel Embiid knows. I'm sure Buddy Hield knows. I'm sure everyone knows. I'm sure they have their eyes on the sixth seed. I don't know why they wouldn't, especially because the Cavs seem like they're comfortably at six. If I'm the Sixers, I'm gunning for the sixth seed. And again, these last six games are must win. You have to win all six of these games. You have to, especially because they've done so much losing. They have to make up for it, but also because it means a lot for their potential standing come play-in or hopefully avoiding the play-in into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, and the six is huge. We've said it. But if you can get it, and again, the Pacers' upcoming schedule, just so you know, because again, if you take care of business against Miami on Thursday, you're only half game back. We know what that means. I mean, you're right there. If you lose, you're not looking good. So that, I mean, Thursday's huge. But Indiana's upcoming schedule, they have Brooklyn, they got OKC, they have Miami. So someone's got to lose that one. They have the Raptors, the Cavs, and the Hawks. That's tougher than the Sixers' upcoming schedule, but they have a two-game advantage on the Sixers right now, so with just a few to play. So we'll see how it all shakes out, but like, I mean, if they somehow got to six this year and got to play Cleveland in the first round after how crazy the last 2 months have been, I mean, that is like amazing, an amazing draw for the Sixers to get that. And then obviously after that, you don't want the eight at all. Not just because that would mean you have to win a play-in, you know, the second play-in where it's you're out if you lose it, but you get Boston if you win it. That's not ideal. So seven is ranked above that, but we'll see how it all shakes out. It's all, I mean, one way or another, we're going to know where the Sixers land here in just a couple weeks. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But that's it for episode 139 of the podcast. We'll be back soon to talk about all these hypotheticals and see what actually happens. So we'll hope you join us then. We'll see you next time. Peace.